I greet you in the name of our wonderful Savior this morning. It's good to be here and to share this time with you. Some of you have asked me recently, how's it going? And referring to my retirement here, about it's almost 5 months now. And I'd just like to say that it's good. It's been going well. And as I look back at that time, I just see how the Lord has led and given direction, and just has really led in that whole process. And I really feel good about it. I just want to commend you as a church for making that transition and giving your loyalty and support to Dana and to Harold and to Lynn and Sheldon. I got all. Okay, I want to make sure I didn't miss someone. And but I just commend you for that. And I also commend the ministry team for their leadership. I really am glad for how things have worked out and what's been happening. Amen. Now maybe when you saw the title of the message there in the bulletin, maybe you thought that this is going to be Tom's shortest sermon. And maybe it would be appropriate this morning. Some time ago, I started thinking about this word, amen. And I thought, do I really understand that word? Is it a word that I just say? What does it mean? What does it really mean? And I think most of us would say, so be it. Amen. And I had to ask myself, do I really use it properly? Is there something I could learn about it? And so my goal here this morning is to help us to think about this word that we all use. We all use it, probably quite often. But to think about it and see if we can learn some things about it, maybe have a new appreciation for this word, amen. In the King James Version, this word is used 78 times. It's used in both the Old and the New Testament. And this word is one that is what's called is transliterated. And that means that it's basically the same in all languages. Sometimes you might hear amen. We say amen. But sometimes people will say amen. But I think almost in every language you can understand what they're saying. It's kind of like the word hallelujah. The word hallelujah, I understand, is pretty much the same, or you can recognize that in all different languages. And so that's the way the word amen is. How do we use it? How do we use that word? The most common way that we use it is in closing a prayer. I think we're all familiar with that. We say a prayer, and at the end we say, amen, or in Jesus' name, amen. It's kind of a signal that our prayer is done, isn't it? I notice that we have a custom oftentimes that when there's a group of people praying, and here again, this is just kind of a custom. But oftentimes when we're praying, maybe like a prayer meeting, we have four or five people together and we're praying. We'll wait until the last person is done, and then that person says, amen. Don't always do that. But it's kind of a signal that we're finished. Also, we use it as a term of agreement. And that is that sometimes when you hear somebody preaching, preacher will say something and will say, amen. And that means I agree with that. Or it might mean, so be it. Someone has said that if you say amen to a preacher, it's like saying sick'em to a dog. And in some circles, some churches, amen is a very common expression. And all through the service and different comments like that. So, amen is a part of the church service. Actually, I grew up in a church that in the auditorium, we had our traditional two rows of seatings, but up in the corners there was some shorter benches, and those were nicknamed the Amen Corners. They were the corners that oftentimes the older people sat in, especially on the left was the men, on my left, you're right, it's where the older men sat, and they were the ones that oftentimes gave the amens in the message. And so we nicknamed those corners, I'm sure I learned it from somebody else, the Amen Corners. I remember a number of years ago, and here again, sometimes amens need to be said in an appropriate way, but we were having a service over at the fairgrounds at Centerville, and a number of years ago, churches used to give programs over there. Churches kind of went together in the county, and the Sunday night before the fair started, I've seen times when the grandstands were about full of people there on that Sunday night for church service. And they would try to get some well-known speaker in. And I remember one Sunday night, there was a older gentleman that was very vocal with his amens. I knew him a little bit. He had been an auctioneer. He had a good, strong voice. And the speaker said something, I can't remember what it was, but an amen was just not appropriate at the time. But there come that loud amen. And everybody, I think, had a little chuckle out of that. But so amens are something that we are quite familiar with. And sometimes we'll just say quietly or so on, yes, or some agreement when someone is praying. And that's kind of the same type of thing as an amen. Now, I'd like to just look a little bit as how this word is used in the Scriptures. How does the Scriptures use this? Go, first of all, to Numbers chapter 5. And it's interesting, these first couple of examples that I'm giving, it's used in connection with accepting a curse if you're guilty. This I found interesting, how it's first used here in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 5 and verse 22. This is where the test was given. If a woman was suspected of being unfaithful to her husband and so on, and they did certain things there, there in verse 22, and it said, this water that causes the curse shall go into thy bowels to make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. In other words, if she was put to that test, she was to say amen, amen, in agreement with, she would accept that if she were guilty. Go over to Deuteronomy 27, and here we have something that is similar in a way, and that is in Deuteronomy 27, there is a series of curses that is given to those that would disobey what the Lord wanted. And starting at verse 17, No, I'm sorry, starting at verse 15, he says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And then he goes down through and he lists a whole group of curses there. And then in, let's see, I'm trying to see where it is here. No, I might have written something down here. Deuteronomy 27. I'm in 28. There, that's a problem. Deuteronomy 27, verse 17. Okay. Thank you. He starts there in verse 15, and he goes, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molded image. And then after every verse, all the way down through to the end of the chapter, he gives that curse, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. And so it's an acceptance of, if we disobey what God has commanded, then we accept that curse. And we accept the results, the punishment of what God will give to us. And so that's the way that was handled there. I noticed that all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Go over to the book of Nehemiah. And there again, this is something that is somewhat similar. But in Nehemiah chapter 5, we have where Nehemiah really rebukes the rulers or the wealthy people because they have taken advantage of the poor. And over in verse 13, he says, Also I shook my lap and said, So God shall shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, because it said, We will do it, we'll do what you said. Even thus, be he shaken out and emptied, and all the congregation said, Amen, and praised the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. And so when they said Amen, they were accepting, and they were committing themselves to what Nehemiah had said and what God was requiring of them. And so there's this part of Amen that we need to realize, that it's an acceptance of what God has said. It's an acceptance of God's word. And so when we say that word, we are saying something very important. We're accepting what God has said to us. Over in 1 Kings, there's a story there of when David was saying who should become king, one of his men responded and said, Amen, and so let it be. And he was committing himself to follow and to do what David had said. Now let's go to 1 Chronicles 16. And here we see where Amen becomes a part of worship. And actually that's one of the main things that we'll be looking at here today too, when it comes to this whole area of Amen. But in 1 Chronicles 16, here we have where David brings the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. I think that would be the second time he attempted it, and this time he was successful. And there he gives a psalm. In verse 7, he gives a psalm. But then go down to verse 34 and 35 and 36. And he ends up his psalm and he says, and this sounds like a psalm, doesn't it? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And then we notice here how the people responded, and it said, and all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. They said, Amen, we accept, and we agree and accept what you are saying here about the Lord. And I believe that was a worship for them. Now, amen is also connected with God himself. And this is something that was a surprise to me as I began to study this. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Now, not every word that we come across actually says amen. There's some of the words that were in the original Hebrew that were a form of amen that were translated into something else. And we see an example of this here in chapter 7, in Deuteronomy 7. In verse 9 it says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God." And that word faithful there comes from that word amen. And this was something that was surprising to me. But that word faithful, you might say, is the amen God. He is the faithful God. Also, we see then in Isaiah 65, we'll just remember that, we talk about the faithful God. Now go back to Isaiah 65 and verse 16. And here we see it says that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. First we had the God of faithful God. Now here we have the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are, and so on. But I just want to point out, this God of truth, again, that word truth here comes from this word amen. So we have God as being faithful, God is being true, and then one more in Psalm 111. Here we're going to see another aspect of this word amen. In Psalm 111 and verse 7. And it says, "The works of his hands are verity and judgment, and all his commandments are sure." And that word sure there is also has to do with this word, amen. So we have faithfulness and truth and surety. All three of those aspects of this, of amen. You didn't know you said that much when you say amen, do we? it's just a word we often say, and we say it with almost without thinking. But there's a lot involved in this word of amen. Now, Jesus also used this word. There's twice that we have the actual word where he actually says amen recorded. One of them is at the end of the Lord's Prayer. And "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, amen." He also uses it at the end of when he gives the Great Commission. And "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," and so on. And then he finishes that up with amen. But most of the time, and here again, he uses the very same word, very same Greek word, but we have it translated in our King James as the word verily. That word verily that Jesus used is this very same word, amen. If you look it up in your Strong's Concordance, you'll find it's the very same number that the word amen is. And it's interesting that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus, we have it translated just verily, but you come into the book of John, it's verily, verily. I think it's only in John you find that expression, verily, verily. And again, as I thought about that, well, what does that mean, verily? And Jesus usually said, you know, "Verily I say unto you," or "Verily, verily I say unto you." And, you know, I read that expression and I didn't give that a whole lot of thought. But stop and think. He's saying amen I say unto you. And I had to think, in that expression, I think we get all three of those things that we've seen about God himself. We see the faithfulness of what he says. When Jesus says, I say unto you, we see the truth of what he says, and we see the surety of what he says. And so when Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is the voice of God speaking to us. It's the same. Now, the amen is speaking. It's interesting, you go over into Revelation 3:14, and you can go over to the book of Revelation and just keep it there because we're going to be in there in a little bit. But in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 14, it says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the, what? Amen. Jesus himself is called the Amen, the faithful and true. There's those two of those things we talked about, isn't it? The faithful and true witness the beginning of the creation of God. And I was just amazed when I looked at that, and here's a word that we just use, and yet Jesus is called by that same name, the name Amen. Now, it's no wonder that his disciples used this word a lot. Something that I learned in this, and I never stopped to think about it before, but every book in the New Testament, with the exception of two, if I looked at things right anyhow, every book in the New Testament, with the exception of two, ends with that expression, Amen. And I don't think that was just a filler word. I don't think that was just, they said, oh, this is a neat way to end the book. I think that they used that expression because this is from God himself. The Amen. If I'm correct, I think it's the book of Acts and the book of 3 John that do not end with the expression, Amen. I had to think, is Amen a sacred word? Should we consider that a sacred word? Think about that. Now, I'd like to stay here in the book of Revelation. And in the book of Revelation, this word, Amen, is used 10 different times. 10 times that it's used here in the book of Revelation. And I read through those. I just took each one and read through those verses. And it seemed like there was a theme that came through with them. And that theme was worship. Worship. I think Dana preached recently about worship, didn't you, Dana? It seemed like you talked about worship and so on just recently. And I've always kind of struggled with that. What is worship? What does it really mean to really worship? And when it said that people worshiped, what did they actually do? And something that I've tried to give a lot of thought to over the years. What I'd like to do here, I'd just like to go through the book of Revelation here and just read each one of those. And I want us to get that sense of worship that comes through as we read them. Now there'll be a few of them. I'm going to read a couple extra verses with them so we get the context of it. But in Revelation 1, I'm going to start at verse 4 and read through verse 7. And in verse 6 and 7, we're going to see that word. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Sense that? Sense that worship there of how his blood has saved us and so on? Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. He's looking there to the future. We've had talking about the return of Christ in our Sunday school and so on. But he just stands in awe and says, amen. And then in verse 18 of that same chapter, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. He uses that term, amen. And then we have 3:14. We read that one already over there where Jesus calls himself the amen. And then go to chapter 5. And verse 13 and 14. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Just to sense the worship there. Amen. Chapter 7, verse 11 and 12. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Again, we see that term twice that's used there. Go to chapter 19. Chapter 19 and verse 4. And again we see these 24 elders and four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. Worship is what we're seeing there. And then go to the last chapter, chapter 22. The last two verses of the Bible. And it says that he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. That's the words of Jesus. That's what Jesus said. And the Apostle John says, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That was his response to that. And then he finishes up and said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. Now, as I meditated on that, I had to think. You know, if we could take worship, and I know we do a lot of different things with worship. We sing and we praise the Lord and we pray, and we do a lot of different things in worship. But if we could take and boil all of worship down to one word, just one word, I wonder would it be this word, amen? Amen. You know, God, when he met Moses there at the burning bush, Moses said, "What's your name? Who shall I say is your name?" And God took and, you might say, boiled down his name. He put it down to the very simplest, yet most complex name that there could be. And he said, "I am." And I think "I am" is the essence of God. And that gives you a lot to think about. I am the self-existent one. I am. And I believe you can take worship and boil it down to one word, amen. Just amen. Now, what are we saying when we say amen? I believe that the response of saying amen in worship, I think it expresses our entire submission and gratitude and love for our Creator when we say amen. I believe that it sums up our commitment and our loyalty and our service and our dedication to God. Just that one word. So instead of saying amen as sort of closing something, really amen ought to be the beginning. It ought to be what inspires us. Sometimes we hear the amen at the close of the service and we say, "Oh, that's over with. I can go on and get out of here." No, it should be the beginning of our worship. It should be the beginning of a renewed commitment in our lives. It's not the closing. It's really the opening to our commitment to the Lord. We pray, "Lord, use me." Amen. Well, I'm done with that. No. It's, "Lord, use me. And now I want to be used of you. Lord, forgive me." Or, "Lord, I need, supply my needs." And we want the Lord to continue to work in us and show us how and so on. Amen doesn't get us off the hook. Amen sort of puts us on the hook. We think if we ask for something and say amen, well, it's all in the Lord's hands now, and I'm just kind of off the hook. Well, there is that sense we turn things over to the Lord. But when we say that amen, we are making a commitment. "Lord, I'm going to do it your way. Lord, I trust you. And I just worship you, Lord. I'm giving everything over to you." I don't know about you, and as I study this, the more I realize I don't understand everything about this word, amen. There's a lot here. A lot more than I had any idea of. I don't think I ever preached on this word before. But I'd like for us to have a new appreciation of when we say amen, that we stop and we think a little bit of what we're really saying. Yeah, we're saying, "So be it." But it's an act of worship to God, and we are committing ourselves to those prayers, and we're committing ourselves to God. I'd like to do something this morning. I'd like for us to stand together. And I'm going to ask that after we're finished here, we don't even sing a song. But I'd like here in closing that if you can just sense and have a new appreciation for this word, and as a worship to God, audibly, and just when you're ready, when you really sense that, just really out loud, just say that word, amen. And in that, saying that I am committing myself to you, Lord, and I worship you. You are first in my life. You are everything in my life. And if you can say that this morning truthfully and honestly, when you're ready to do that, just say amen. Amen. Go in peace. You're dismissed. God bless you.